Chevrolet. Find new roads.
This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is made possible in part each Wednesday by People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do, a better business relationship. By Business Energy Action, challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. By Fairpoint Communications, small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. By Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. And by National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years, working for a better tomorrow. And by the over 1,000 VBSR members. Here's noted Vermont author David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. America is going hungry. A record 20% of American households, that's one in five, were on food stamps last year. A similar tale is told here in Vermont. According to Hunger Free Vermont, in 2012, 13% of all Vermont households were food insecure. More than 25,000 children under 18 live in food insecure households. More than 84,000 Vermonters of all ages, that's 14%, live in food insecure households. And a third of Vermonters cannot afford either enough food or enough nutritious food. This is the situation that Senator Bernie Sanders was referring to when he said, "It is simply unacceptable that in this day and age, Vermont children go to bed hungry, and it's unconscionable that the federal government would cut back on food and nutrition assistance to states as our nation struggles to recover from the worst recession since the Great Depression." Our guest this week to talk about the situation in Vermont include John Sales, the CEO of the Vermont Food Bank, Rob Meehan, director of the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, and in the second half hour, we'll be joined by Charles Knoll, a client of the food shelf, who has a personal perspective on hunger in Vermont. Let's start with John Sales from the Vermont Food Bank. John, the food bank is part of a network of 270 food shelves, meal sites, senior centers, shelters, and after-school programs. And you feed 86,000 Vermonters who need food assistance. What is happening on the ground in Vermont that you see in terms of hunger in Vermont?
Well, what we're seeing is a huge increase in the number of people needing food assistance starting in 2007, 2008, when we really had the economic collapse. There was already a pretty robust need in Vermont, and it really increased dramatically. After a few years, you know, around 2010 to 11, the rate of increase started slowing down, and that we're still seeing that. We're still seeing an increase, just a smaller increase. It hasn't started to fall back. You know, you read in the Wall Street Journal that the recession's over. But the folks who are going to food shelves and meal sites around the state, recession's not over for our neighbors in that situation. And it won't be for a number of years. I'm sure you've talked about on your show, the jobs coming back are not the same jobs that were here before. And often the folks coming into food shelves, and Rob and Charles can talk about this, are people who have jobs and are just not able to make ends meet anymore.
In the fall, Three Squares Vermont was reporting a cut in benefits at the same time as the food bank was reporting an 18% decline in food donations. That was described as a perfect storm for Vermonters in need. What's happening now?
Well, we're working harder than ever to try and source food, find food to be able to put it in the charitable food system. One of the places we're looking is fresh food. You know, interestingly, historically the food banking system has been built on stuff from grocery stores and dry goods that are then donated to food banks and distributed to food shelves and ultimately to our neighbors. More and more, that food is not available. Manufacturers are more efficient. distributors and retailers are more efficient. There's a secondary market, so stuff that used to be donated and go to the food shelf is now going to the Mr. G's and Big Lots and liquidation centers. So we're having to be much more creative in finding food. And one of those places to look is in fresh food, in produce. You know, a lot of Vermont farms, in fact, I would say almost all Vermont farms of any size donate to the food system. And nationally, there's a lot of unused produce. I hear estimates of 70 billion, with a B, pounds every year. And it's challenging to access that and move it quickly, and we're trying to do that.
Food banks traditionally dealt in government surplus foods that came in pallets and number 10 cans of vegetables. Moving fresh produce is a completely different animal for a food bank. How do you do that?
Well, we're having to change all of our systems. In fact, right now, the Vermont Food Bank is really struggling. And, you know, Rob's a big, Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf is a big part of the changes we're trying to make. We have to reconfigure the way we bring food in and sort it and distribute it back out to our partners. You know, we need more freezer space. We need more cooler space. We need more volunteers to come in and sort through that produce. And, you know, we have to make sure that what comes in is okay to go out, and it's going to last that couple of days before it gets into people's hands. We have to be more creative about how it gets distributed. You can't, if a food shelf is open one day a month, you can't deliver a load of produce to an empty room a week before that and expect people to get decent food to eat when the doors open. So it really is a paradigm shift in our, you know, quote-unquote business model.
And when we're talking about an 18% decline in food donations, I mean, that's staggering. That's almost a fifth of your inventory. Have you been able to make up some significant part of that?
Part of it, actually. We've seen a slight increase this year in some of the food coming in from the federal government. And we've actually hired on a new food sourcer at the food bank. So we have somebody that travels around the state and visits food businesses and really works with those folks to get donations into the food bank. We're not back to where we have been. But, you know, we've never really met the need in the state. So we're meeting the need a little bit less, and we're working a lot harder to try and bring that food in.
We're talking this week about the new face of hunger in Vermont here on the Vermont Conversation. You can join the conversation by calling 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Let's turn now to Rob Meehan, the director of the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf. Rob, tell us a little bit about who you serve, who the food shelf serves.
Sure. So right now in Chittenden County, there's about 19,000 people that are considered food insecure. And we know we serve about 12,000 of those folks. Right away, you know there's a lot of people that aren't being served. It's an interesting and complex issue. I'm really thankful that you're raising awareness of hunger today. Thanks for having us on.
Can we break down that? We hear the term food insecure. You see it, the real face of that. What does that mean?
Really, you know, people that are food insecure, it's not having enough food in your household. It's really plain and simple. The sad truth is that there are kids that are going to bed in Vermont with empty bellies, without enough to eat. There are moms and dads that are making choices not to eat so that their kids eat. And one of the big issues that John was alluding to is access to food and healthy food. One of the things we're working hard to do is create access to that healthy, locally grown food. That's sort of a revolution that's taking place in a lot of different areas throughout Vermont with schools and businesses and, of course, with the lead of the Vermont Food Bank. It's an interesting partnership we have with the food bank because we're the folks that are doing the direct service with meals and groceries, but we can't do that without the help of the food bank providing us with literally hundreds of thousands of pounds of food each year. We move about 2 million pounds of food through our facility in Chittenden County. And like you were speaking to, some of that was the emergency food through the government. A couple of years ago, we saw a drop in nearly 500,000 pounds of food that Uncle Sam didn't provide to Vermonters. So big part of what you hear me talk about is the shift. The onus was on government. It's now on charities. So the charitable food system, as John spoke to, is in trouble. And we're asking our neighbors for more food, for more money. And I just got to say, Vermonters, helping Vermonters is, as we all know, that's what's feeding Vermonters right now.
So how do people who are listening to this who want to help, what's the best way to help?
Well, you know, obviously we can't do this without food, so we're trying to organize as many food drives as we can. That's a big part of our business. We're asking for monetary donations, as all the local food shelves need. The Waterbury food shelf here needs monetary donations in order to purchase food, the healthy food that we're talking about. And those supermarket share bins need to get filled with healthy food, too.
But what do those share bins do for you? I mean, what part of your need do those fill?
They fill a part that you'll see protein items oftentimes put in those bins. They're very valuable. They go a long way. But we see that we need to do more. We need to try to mobilize businesses and schools and other nonprofits to work together to create a new food system, not this broken one with growth hormone foods and additives and the long lists of preservatives, etc. We don't need to do that. In fact, we can work together to create heart-healthy foods. The partnership we have with the food bank, for example, we work together in a culinary job training program. So what we're doing now with that program, while participants take place in job training exercises and learn all about the culinary field, they produce and package healthy food that goes out to people in need.
How are you working with the fresh produce providers? Again, this is a new role for a food shelf such as yours. So are you getting, you know, trucks from local farms pulling up to the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf and then moving that out?
Absolutely. In great amounts. We work closely with Intervale and with a lot of other farms throughout Chittenden County. And the food bank is working and gleaning food from farms throughout Vermont. But we need to do more. I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, John.
This is John Sales from the food bank.
Yes, we do need to do more, and as Rob said, Vermont farmers are with fresh produce are very generous, and it is actually work for farmers to donate. It means other people coming on the farm, extra time spent, but they see it as their duty. Farmers don't grow food to plow it under; they want to see people eat it. But we really do need to work together and have the systems. You know, the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf is the biggest charitable food provider in the state of Vermont. So we always know we can take, you know, a truckload of produce and drop it off at Chittenden, and it will get distributed quickly and very efficiently. We're working on getting other partners across the state up to a higher level so that they actually have the knowledge to handle fresh food and get it distributed, and also are aware enough of how to use that food to really, really promote it with our neighbors that are coming into the food shelves. If I could, I wanted to, you asked how people can help the most, and Rob very eloquently talked about food drives, which in Vermont all go to local agencies like the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, and also monetary donations. People ask me all the time, should I give to the food bank or to the food shelf? And really the answer is both, because the food bank cannot do what we do without our network of 270 partners. And likewise, we are an essential source of food of all kinds for our network partners. So it really is a symbiotic relationship, and Vermonters are very generous, and we appreciate them supporting both the statewide effort and their local efforts.
Rob Meehan from the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, you're a frontline provider dealing with clients every day. What are you seeing as tell us something that surprises you or that you think would surprise listeners about who uses the food shelf?
we have a very wide range of people that come to the food shelf in Burlington. A lot of working families. I don't know if that would surprise a lot of people, but we serve people with disabilities, people who are most vulnerable, people who are veterans, people who are homeless. I think right now it's about 4,000 of our clients are children under 18. A lot of kids that are in need of help. That might be surprising to some folks.
Mm-hmm. Are you ever in a situation at the food shelf where you're looking at empty shelves, where you can't provide for the people who are coming in?
No, we do not find ourselves with empty shelves, but what we find is that we want to have better variety. We want people to have a choice in the food that they're receiving, and we also want to include people in the process. We don't want to just say, here's a box of food, see you next month. We want to say, let's get involved now together to try to change this broken system. And that's what's going to do it. It's not going to be college-educated folks that are telling others, this is what we should do. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a grassroots movement that includes the people that we're serving. Community Kitchen Academy is helping us do that. But we have other opportunities to do that, too. Imagine a system whereby the people we're serving can find employment in the culinary field in a variety of ways, where we can try to work on a local economy of sorts and try to feed each other with healthy, locally grown food. I don't think this is that far-fetched. I think we're heading in a negative direction, where you see that number at 19,000 people that are food insecure, and we're seeing less and less support from federal government and more onus, again, being shifted to charities to do more.
We're talking about hunger in Vermont. In this half hour, we're talking with John Sales, CEO of the Vermont Food Bank, and Rob Meehan, director of the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf. I was looking at a clip on Fox News where food stamp program, the SNAP program, is a frequent kind of whipping boy for some of the commentators who talk about the fraud. They profile a surfer, you know, who they claim lives on food stamps. Which one of you, or maybe both, would like to respond to those kind of characterizations that we hear out in the media?
Yeah, this is John Sales. I'll go first. Not the surfer dude again. The surfer dude has had his 15 minutes of fame. And for people who didn't see that, it was a self-proclaimed surfer in California who they filmed going buying a lobster with his food stamp money and cooking it on a friend's grill. So it's quite an interesting bit. You know, the most interesting thing I think about attitudes regarding food stamps, which people we tried to change the name to SNAP and Three Squares Vermont in Vermont, but people persist in calling it food stamps, and maybe that's just okay. It really is about people needing help. And, you know, I ask people all the time to think about when was a time in your life when you really needed some help. And I think everybody has that time in their life. I certainly know I do. And then think about who was there to help you. And most of us have really significant support networks. We have family, we have friends, or, you know, it might be a teacher or a counselor or somebody who takes an interest in us when we really need help, no matter whether that's financial help or emotional help or, you know, in sports, it could be a coach. But then think about folks who really are our neighbors. You know, you're talking 14% of the Vermont population who don't have anyone to turn to when you live in a society, or not a society, you live in a neighborhood and your friends and your family don't have a lot of money, can't help you out of the situation you're in. And it takes a government program. And that is really what folks are doing who take advantage of food stamp programs, is they're reaching out to a friend to help them through a hard time. The national statistics will show that the average stay on food stamps is, I think, between 3 and 6 months. Mm. So this is not generally people who are in a culture of, you know, the three generations on food stamps. It is our neighbors, and they're asking for help just like you've asked for help. And they need somebody who's there and has the resources to help them through that hard time.
We have a caller on the line. Karen is calling from Hardwick. Karen, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks. I just have a quick question. I wonder if Mr. Sales could tell us what his salary is and who pays it.
Sure, Karen. I'd be happy to do that. And this is the first time I've been asked this on the radio, but I've been, you know, it doesn't bother me. I make $118,000 running a $16 million a year organization. And my salary is paid by people who donate money to the Vermont Food Bank. So that is, we have over 14,000 regular donors around the state and really in other places too. The work that we do is really important, and we feel that it's really important to have very high-performing professional people. We have about 48 people that work at the food bank, all who get paid a good wage for the work that they do and a fair wage based on what other people get paid, both in the Northeast and in Vermont. And in fact, my board sets the salary that I get, and it's based on the comparables for what somebody doing a job that I do gets paid other places.
Right. Rob Meehan, what do you think accounts for the kind of persistence of these, you know, media characterizations or just some of the hostility that exists towards, you know, these kind of poverty reduction or poverty assistance programs?
Yeah, it's not just that. There's also the war on the poor stuff, where you'll have a person who works at a checkout counter who sees a person coming in to get assistance using food stamp card in Vermont, an anonymous card, and there's sort of, I'm mad at you because you're getting this that I'm not. But these myths, we can't believe these myths still go on, you know, years and years and years later. But the food stamp program, what this does for our nation, it brings in Vermont literally millions of dollars to our local economy that we can spend at our markets, help people have jobs in the supermarkets, and help build us up. This is a positive thing when we demonize people and start to look at their what their choices are. We've lost sight of that safety net that when the war on poverty was discussed years and years ago, we actually had a solution. Hunger wasn't a big problem in 1970. We're heading in the wrong direction. We need more government support for people that are poor when it comes to food. And we need our charities to focus on how to include people in the process in the ways that we discuss that will help lift people up in a holistic way that will be not only healthy for our local economy, but healthy for our bodies. And in Vermont, at least as long as I've lived here, which is since the late 90s, people really like focusing on health and their bodies and outdoor and having fun. If you're struggling with kids and you're going to a food shelf, you're limited to those fun opportunities. The after-school programs aren't accessible. You're not skiing at Stowe. And I'm not saying, you know, everybody should be skiing at Stowe. What I'm saying is everyone should have the opportunity to eat healthy food.
Yeah. You know, one of my first jobs, actually my very first job out of college, was working as a staff person at a homeless shelter in Boston where I lived. And so I was interacting with the clients 24 hours a day, literally, and would hear their stories. And I was always very struck by how little separated me from them. Often the person who was there just lost a job and, unlike me, didn't have a family to catch his fall. And with no safety net, you just hit the ground.
You said it. There's people who are divorced and people in accidents, people with a recent disability are the folks that oftentimes we're talking about.
Okay, we'll be back continuing our conversation about hunger in Vermont after the news.
the team at Midstate has stepped up to the plate with some great deals during the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram award season event. Hi, folks. Mitchell down at Midstate, and we have all the bases covered for the month of April. Zero down payments? We got it. 0% financing? We've got it. Factory rebates up to $6,500 off brand new 2014 sedans? We've got those, and great lease deals to boot on Jeeps, Ram 1500 quad cabs, and Grand Caravans. We got home run deals like a brand new 2014 Jeep Patriot for only $15,911. Best of all, with every new vehicle purchase in April, you score a pair of Red Sox home game tickets and transportation to the game by luxury motor coach. Compliments of Midstate. We all know the best deals and the best seats will go first, so don't miss out on this spectacular way to kick off the spring with a great deal on a new vehicle and a trip to Fenway from the team at Midstate Dodge, halfway between Barrie and Montpelier on Route 302.
At Midstate Dodge Hyundai, we make it easy.
AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire. Students are back in class at a Pittsburgh area high school where authorities say a week ago a student armed with a pair of knives went on a rampage in a school hallway. AP Radio's Rita Foley reports.
Karen Angersoll, whose two daughters go to Franklin Regional High School, says one of the reasons they're there is because it's so safe.
I moved here 20 years ago from Los Angeles, and we came here because it's my husband's hometown and because of the school district.
But last week, 16-year-old Alex Rival, armed with two kitchen knives, ran through the school hallways, stabbing and slashing 21 students and a security guard, according to authorities. One of Ingersoll's daughters saw the attacks. She says she still can't sleep at night, but Ingersoll says her family is getting a lot of support. I'm Rita Foley.
Four of the wounded students remain hospitalized. The 16-year-old suspect is charged as an adult with aggravated assault and attempted homicide. AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire.
Looking for a loan for your Vermont business, childcare, or nonprofit organization? Look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Because at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we lend to Vermont businesses and nonprofits, even if the bank says you're not quite ready for a loan. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we focus on people, not profits. We'll work closely with you before and after you get your loan to make sure you get what you need to succeed. The Vermont Community Loan Fund makes loans to early stage companies and established businesses ready to take the next step. We lend to farms and food producers, high-tech businesses, manufacturers, retailers, childcare businesses, affordable housing developers, service providers, and other nonprofit organizations. We make loans to Vermonters doing business right here at home and around the world. So if you're looking for financing to help your growing business, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Visit us online at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
For the latest weather forecast, call the WDEV weather phone, 800-585-1211 or 244-1172. The WDEV weather phone, sponsored by Twin City Subaru on the Berlin Mall Road. Stop in today and let one of the gurus introduce you to Vermont's unofficial state car.
Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility makes the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman available each Wednesday, along with People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do. A better business relationship. National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow. Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. Fairpoint Communications. Small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. And Business Energy Action. Challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. As well as over 1,000 plus VBSR members.
Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation, where this week we're talking about the new face, or the changing face, of hunger in Vermont. Our guests on the show this week have been John Sales, the CEO of the Vermont Food Bank, Rob Meehan, the director of the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, and in our second half hour, we'll bring in another voice. Charles Knoll is a single dad who lives in Burlington and has been a client of the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf for a number of years. Charles, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you very much.
So, when did you first begin using the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf?
first time was probably 1993, 94, when it was across the street from its current location. It's now on North Winooski Avenue. It was behind the Dairy Queen.
And what led you to go to the food shelf?
Honestly, the Grateful Dead had stopped touring, and I was out of money and out of food.
So, tell me a little bit about your life and how the food shelf has kind of worked into you've now had subsequent jobs and lost jobs, had jobs, and where has the food shelf figured into your daily life and routines?
Well, right now, mainly, I can say I'm employed because of the Community Kitchen Academy.
Tell me about that.
Let's see, I went there in February, February of 2013. It was our 13th class, and you got trained in all of the basics of, knife skills, proteins, your restaurant calls, professionalism, cleanup, stuff like that. And that led me to go to New England Culinary Institute in Montpelier, where I achieved a certificate in professional pastry and baking, and did an internship at Feldman's Bagels in Burlington, Vermont, and now have a job in Burlington, Vermont at Hen of the Wood as a pastry cook.
So you work in the food field, but you continue to be a client at the food shelf. Tell me a little bit about that. What role, what need does the food shelf play in your life?
It provides a pantry that's not empty. There are times where you're not going to have... With having a child, I don't want to have nothing. And I know how to cook. I know what to look for. And it's it really does help keep us... I guess you would say. I go once a month to their program, which is once a month you can get groceries, and once every 3 months you can go twice. And they have, a couple nights ago we had filet mignon, baby potatoes with leeks and Brussels sprouts. And, I mean, it was all organic, and it was really good stuff. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Yes, it's from where? So it's a really good organization.
So you attended the Community Kitchen Academy last year. What was happening in your life prior to that?
I had cooked for about 20 years before, and just really got burnt out on it, and went into construction, went to a big divorce, had some back issues, and I had heard about Community Kitchen Academy. I heard that Jamie Eisenberg, who was a former instructor in NECI, was the instructor there. I had met up with her, and she was the person, I guess you'd say, that got the passion started up again.
Were you unemployed at the point?
Oh, yes.
That point?
It's been about 3 years since I had a job.
So is the job that you have now, are you a full-time pastry chef?
No, I'm pastry cook. But it's not full-time yet, but it is definitely gradually getting to that point. The chef I have there is really an incredible chef. He is teaching me quite a bit, and as I learn more of his recipes, I will then begin to climb up with more hours. I'm there about 30 hours a week now.
So prior to enrolling at the Kitchen Academy, Community Kitchen Academy at the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, what role was the food shelf, the food that you were getting at the food shelf, playing in your life? I mean, what would have happened if there weren't the food shelf when you were unemployed?
If the food shelf wasn't there, I would probably be borrowing stuff from Shaw's, Hannaford, stuff like that. I've never ever thought it bad to eat. Everyone does it, and when it's really, really tough, you, especially if you have a child, you make that happen by any means possible. And with the food shelf, I mean, it has made me not be hungry, and also not do the wrong thing.
We were talking at the end of the last half hour about some of the attitudes that people have towards people who are using food stamps or going to food shelves. Have you encountered any of that?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. I mean, I can articulate thought, and I look good, and people are like, well, wait a minute. Why do you have food stamps? Why are you going to the food shelf? Why do you need this? You're just abusing the system. And, you know, getting off of reach up, you know, you go from one level down to another level, then you start jobs, and you go up to another level. How can I say it? I went from $420 a month to $244 a month, and from last month to this month. And it's a change. It's hard, and I know that the food shelf is definitely there to help with, you know, the in-betweens. But as far as purchasing stuff with food stamps, a lot of people just give you an attitude. Some cashiers at certain markets, like usually the big three, I like to say, it's like, you know, all I'm doing is buying food. How I buy it with is no concern, but there's a lot of attitudes out there. Some folks are like, oh, this food stamp card doesn't work. Is it yours? Is it stolen? And it's like, no, it's mine. Here's my ID. Here's the receipt from last month. You know, there are attitudes out there.
From kind of traveling both sides of the fence, from being unemployed to now being trained and getting a job, and what do you think, what would you like to share with Vermonters about, you know, something that is misunderstood about people who need assistance of any sort?
Well, I'd like John and Rob had said, we're your neighbors, and I'm your neighbor. It's the 7,000 that the food bank has not gotten yet. You're the ones that we need that I would like to help find a way to reach those people to say, yes, we need help.
These are the people who have been identified as being food insecure but are not showing up at any food shelves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, eat. That's what everybody does.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've seen people and know people who just aren't getting enough food for their families?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I've known several people in the Old North End who would drink a couple 2 liters of soda at night while their kids would have so their kids could eat. And that's horrible. We're in America. We're in Vermont. You know, it's a farming state. There's food here. You just have to ask for it.
At the opening of the show, I talked about people who have to choose between heating and food, or between medicine and food. Were those ever choices that you were confronted with?
I can luckily say no. There were a few times where I was very, very down and out, but there were a couple of times in the past, in the probably about 5-6 years ago, where it was either my prescription or dinner. And I mean, not just dinner, it was dinner for a couple of weeks. And I got my prescription and then ended up going to the Cots Family Shelter and ended up getting our meals there.
Hmm. We're talking on the Vermont Conversation this week about hunger in Vermont. And you can join the conversation by calling 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Rob Meehan, the director of the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, your name would suggest that you just deal in food, but you're really a much larger poverty reduction agency. Talk a little bit about what else you do besides food.
Right. It takes much more than food to fight hunger. Really what we're talking about is problems with jobs. There's a housing crisis in Chittenden County. There's problems with debt and credit. All you really need is a pulse right now in order to get a credit card. You know, so we talk about issues that biggest financial crisis we've ever experienced has a ripple effect. It hurts those that are most vulnerable. So yes, we're advocates, we're activists. We're trying to include people in the process We provide food to one another. And we're also trying to shift the onus back on where it belongs, with where our tax dollars go. And so we have, in addition to culinary job training, we have other types of workforce development that include people and opportunities. We've tried helping folks with addiction try to find work. We've helped people who can't come to the food shelf because of mobility impairments or because of chronic illness by trying to include folks in the process too, by literally picking people up and bringing them to the food shelf, and so that there's more of a social aspect to their life. So yeah, there's so much more than food involved in what we're talking about.
There's a big debate going on nationally and in Montpelier about raising the minimum wage to $10.10. From your perspective, what difference would that make to people?
It'd make a great difference. Right now, it's one of the biggest challenge that I see as an advocate is to answer the question of how do I get the person who is a single mom, for example, to leave the supports that are agencies like ours, but also state financial support, to work at a low-wage job that doesn't help with holidays. It might be a night job. It might be you work all the holidays and the weekends and try to raise a child at the same time. I'm still trying to answer that for myself as an advocate. How do I motivate that person to leave this quote-unquote system for that?
It's hard.
It's hard, Charles says. Yes,
Charles, you're saying, you're nodding your head vigorously, saying it's hard to leave that system. Why is that?
There's credit issues, and I've had problems paying bills and whatnot. The 3 years I was on ReachUp, which is a government funding program, my rent was paid, my electric was paid, my gas was paid. Even though I was in a 200% below poverty level, the worries that everyone else had was there. So when I ended up leaving ReachUp March 17th, and stuff like that, it was like, okay, there's no. Once everything is paid, and then the next month it's not. There's no programs to say there's someone that can help you pay your bills. Have a payee, then usually people recommend the Howard Center, but Howard Center will only do it if you have Social Security. I hate to say it this way, but it's like there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program. And when you get off, it's really, really hard. It's difficult because you don't know if you lose your job and then you got a 3-day waiting list to get on to ReachUp again, and you lose your job, or you lose your benefits and you lose your check, how do you pay your rent?
So what made you decide to get off of ReachUp?
I just thought it was about time. It was about time. I really went through it was mainly the divorce that really kind of set me off. And it took me a good 5-6 years to get back into the swing of things. And mainly it was for my son to let him know that his dad does have a job. His dad does work.
What difference do you think it's made to your son to see you employed, having gotten trained, gotten a job?
He definitely loves it. He's 16, so he has that little bit of the 16-year-old attitude, but he definitely is very proud of the fact that I'm working.
Good. How's it going, Dad?
And what about his own entry into the work world? He's at that age where I gather he knows that he needs to support himself. How do you think your situation has affected his outlook on that?
One thing that's been really nice about Charles, my son, is he's always mowed people's lawns, done shovel removal. He's worked at the city schools. He definitely wants to work. Anytime there's a job, help wanted sign, he'll fill out the application. He's still looking, but I'm sure he'll get something soon.
John Sales from the Vermont Food Bank, we talked about kind of addressing, Rob Mina's talked about the need for a movement, not just charity. How does the food bank find itself engaged in that and engaged in the discussions over minimum wage and the larger issues surrounding poverty?
Well, we engage in a number of ways. We're in the legislature talking to folks, and you know, it's not our core mission to be out there in the front lines on the raising of the minimum wage, but our organization is supportive of it because it's going to mean that we would have fewer people to serve. When you think about it, everything we're talking about, food assistance, be it SNAP or the charitable food system, housing assistance, job placement assistance, health care, it's all just an income support. Everything we do is an income support. And what we want, most of all, is for our neighbors to have the income to live a reasonable life, live a life of dignity. And there are some people who will never be able to work. And we have, as a society, have to figure out how we're going to care for those people with dignity. And the people that can contribute and want to, then we need to find a way to help them do that and retain the dignity of being able to pay their rent, pay for the heat, get their prescriptions, have health care, and get enough good food to eat. The food bank, through our national network called Feeding America, we do a lot of national level advocacy work. In fact, I go to D.C. a couple times a year. I meet with our congressional delegation, who are generally very supportive of all the things we're talking about here. They're a great group. But also we're lobbying, nationally. We're working with USDA. We're working with Human Services. We're talking to other members of Congress that might not agree with the points of view that our congressional delegation in Vermont has. And we're also sharing a lot of that, the national information, with our network partners, those 270 organizations, getting on sign-on letters to Congress and calling our representatives and what's happening in Montpelier. So we are a, you could call us a value chain facilitator, making sure that the information is distributed as far as it can and being there as a resource for, Rob is part of a larger organization, the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf and Champlain Valley Office of Economic Opportunity, but a small food shelf, say in Waterbury, the Waterbury Food Shelf, the food bank can be a conduit for the folks at the Waterbury Food Shelf to have a voice not only statewide but also nationally. And we try very hard to make that service available.
Do you ever worry that food banks and food shelves are, seen by people who want to cut back on programs and assistance, that you essentially enable their point of view because they say, well, there's food shelves and food banks to catch folks when they fall?
Yeah, and we have that conversation all the time internally. It's a difficult one because while I honestly think if the food bank went out of business, that would be a really good thing. And I think everyone that works at the food bank would find other really productive things to do. But we can't just cut people off. We have to work, as Rob was talking about, we have to create this movement. We have to work to end the injustice of poverty in our country. But at the same time, we have to make sure that when Charles is in crisis, that he has a place to go to get some food. So I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both. I think there are people who would say, yes, the charitable system should take care of this. An easy statistic is that the charitable food system nationwide, this is Feeding America, our national organization, has 203 food banks that are members. There's probably 250 around the country. There are 60,000 local agencies. 4% of all food assistance comes through the Charitable Food Network. 96% comes through state and federal governments. We cannot fill the gap. And we will not fill the gap. we are truly there for the net under the safety net.
Rob Meehan from the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, you've talked about the need for a movement to really address the issues that you see on a daily basis. What would that movement look like if it were to start in Vermont?
Well, since we work with food, I think it would look a lot like how other jobs that deal with food look like. In the Burlington area, there's a lot of big corporations, really big ones now. Some of these folks who get involved, as well as some of the large universities and some of the smaller school systems too, whereby how about diverting some of those subsidies that now go to Monsanto and to some others around the country? Let's divert some of those to the small farmers who are struggling in Vermont just to make ends meet also, so that we could, say, work together to create opportunities for folks like Charles to work on farms with aquaponics or hydroponics, to work together to collectively grow our own food. And you can see sort of a movement of jobs happening there, where let's compete with that big business that wants to sell us whatever those tomatoes and chickens are, Charles, that have all those growth hormones in them. And let's have a place for these in our county, close to 19,000 people, a place for them to go to work. It's going to take some radical thinking and doing to change this. I don't think that this is going to happen on its own, whereby this number will be reversed.
At the beginning of the program, I introduced the issue of hunger by talking about the national statistic that 1 in 5 American households are now on food stamps. And it seems that every time I do a show that touches on this, I talk about yet the latest all-time record that's set. So as a frontline provider, what gives you hope as you're dealing with this rising tide of need to, you know, that this is ever going to change?
I think it's sitting right next to me in the studio, Charles, as people that I meet that are really fighting to make a better lives for themselves, understanding that while there isn't a livable wage right now in Vermont, in some places, while there is a housing crisis, there's still that desire for what was once an old American dream. That's still within all of us. That gives me hope. And I think the creative and intelligent people throughout Vermont, I think there's a lot of people that are like-minded that feel that way too.
And Charles Knoll, we're going to give you the last word. You've had personal experience of both being in need and struggling and fighting to you know, make a better life for yourself. What gives you that spirit to kind of push on when you face some really tough obstacles?
I'm not an alcoholic, but the Blue Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has a line saying to trudge the road of happy destiny.
I'm sorry, to say that again.
To trudge the road to happy destiny.
What's that mean to you?
You keep fighting. You keep moving. You keep going forward. You eventually will get the ring.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for this week's Vermont Conversation. I want to thank all three of you, Charles Knoll, Rob Meehan from the Chittenden Emergency Food Shelf, and John Sales from the Vermont Food Bank. Thanks for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation.
You have been listening to the Vermont Conversation with host David Goodman. Tune in next Wednesday when, once again, Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and its over 1,000 VBSR members, along with Fairpoint Communications, small business owners, make it big with Fairpoint, National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow, People's United Bank, find out what know-how can do, and Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to patient, community, and medicine since 1879, as well as Business Energy Action, challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. These all help to bring you David Goodman with this special program.